You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
The governor of Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine, signs a bill into law. It's law now in Ohio, the state of Ohio, where it's the heartbeat bill, which means when your baby in your womb has a heartbeat, which is around, what, 21 days, something like that?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. So you're looking at just 21 days, basically, something like that. That if you abort that child afterwards, you're breaking the law. We've been praying for years that God would end abortion. And you hear us on the program, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. God's hearing our prayers and He's answering. So this is so exciting to be able to see this. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me, of course, is John Ramos.
Hello.
These days are so important.
Yes.
When we're seeing it be fulfilled, right?
Absolutely. We've been praying for a long time. Abortion has been legal in this nation since 1973, where over 50 million plus babies have been murdered. And so this is a beautiful thing that's happening. We have all these movies coming out. But this is what the governor of Ohio said. He said the essential function of government is to protect the most vulnerable among us, those who do not have a voice. This is amazing.
That's awesome.
He said government's role should be to protect life from the beginning to the end, to protect those who cannot protect themselves, such as the elderly, the unborn, and those who are sick, those who have a disability, and those who have a mental illness or an addiction. Wow.
You know, this is what God says. He says, before the foundation of the earth, I knew you. And when I had you in your mother's womb, I knit you together. Mm. I'm the one forming you. I am that mysterious carbon bond inside the DNA that holds everything together, right? And he's saying, and so to stop that is to stop the plan of God. I mean,
that's
even
right.
When I think about Esau, right? And he's wrestling with his brother, right? You remember his brother?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, right?
Jacob.
And they were wrestling in the womb because they were like, who's going to go first? And there were two nations were tussling in the mother's womb. And imagine if somebody aborted those twins. That would have aborted all the Arab nations,
that's
basically,
right.
And all the Middle East.
That's
because
right.
You're looking at Esau and you're looking at Jacob. And so it's just so powerful. It's so important. I really believe that. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm excited. That, you know, a prerequisite for a great awakening, which we have to have in America to return us back to the place we need
sure.
to be, we got to stop the shedding of innocent bloodshed. Look at Josiah, when King Josiah was king in Israel. It was over until he became king. And then when he became king, he just ended all the baby sacrifice to Moloch and all the things that were going on. And God was bringing judgment because of all the blood, the innocent bloodshed in the land. And so God said, listen, Josiah, because you've done this, and he said, there's not a king greater than Josiah. They didn't say he sang Sunday school songs. They didn't say he was all religious. He just listened to what God said. He realized God was angry with what was going on. He did what was written in Scripture, which they just kind of mysteriously found the Bible all of a sudden, right? Oh, look what we found out here, you know. He read it to him, had it read to him. And he realized, this is not of God. We've got to end this thing.
We've got to fix this.
We've got to end abortion now. And God stopped destruction on Israel when that was happening. And as long as Josiah lived, then God blessed the land.
Yeah.
And so what's happening right now should not be taken lightly by anybody who wants to have an America, who wants to see a great awakening come and understand the heart of God. We cannot continue to have innocent bloodshed on our land and expect God to move in a mighty way, a national way.
And this blood is crying out to God.
Yes.
I mean, it is literally crying out to God. And
because the first man murdered on the earth says Abel's blood still cries out to this day. Mm. All of those children's voices are being heard. You know, they're finding more and more that you can grab one cell of a person, and you can reproduce out of that one cell everything that's in that person. Mm. Well, man can't do it, but God can do it, which means the first cell that happens inside of the womb that comes together that they refer to as an embryo, and they use some other terminology other than baby called fetus, but it's always been a baby. God's called it a baby. Listen, when Jesus' mama showed up with John the Baptist's mama, they were having a conversation with each other. You had John the Baptist having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus having a conversation, and they were still in the womb. They were jumping around inside
leaping.
The womb. They were
yeah.
leaping in the room.
Yeah.
And so it's just, can you imagine? I think about Herod. Herod tried to kill Jesus. You know, I think about, you know, Pharaoh. Pharaoh tried to kill Moses, and the enemy's always trying to kill the future. But guess what? He never succeeds. The strength of man, the wisdom of man will never succeed against the power of God.
Amen.
You know
That's
what I'm
awesome.
Saying? It is.
It's a beautiful
so
thing.
I think, well, what is this heartbeat? Because a lot of people don't understand get a heartbeat. And imagine, like around 6 days, 21
well,
days.
Thank God for modern technology today where we can actually see what the baby looks like.
Yeah.
You say to anyone, 6 weeks, 21 weeks, 50 weeks, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, we're getting ready to show you. Live Action has put a wonderful video that's going to highlight to show you what a baby's heartbeat looks like at 6 weeks, 16 days.
And once this beat happens in Ohio, if you take that child's life, it's against the law.
It's murder.
It's murder. They're going to have all the protections as a citizen of America.
It's a beautiful thing. Take a look.
Put Tennessee in the fight for our unborn.
These are very exciting days in the history book of God. You're seeing God change the heart of a nation that we appreciate life again. And you think about why did so many people make such a big stink over the Supreme Court justices being, you know, two judges, Brett Kavanaugh.
And Neil Gorsuch.
And you notice the people that were having the greatest attack on them was ones that were saying, we still want to kill our children.
That's right.
We still want to abort our children. And it was like, that doesn't even make sense. And now you know why. Because they realized the devil knew that his day was due, that he was no longer going to be able to kill the humans anymore in America.
I think about two things. I think about our Vice President Mike Pence, who says
life is winning in America again. Yes.
And our President Donald Trump, who on the last debate, when he debated Hillary Clinton, boldly said that I am not okay with ripping baby body parts, okay? I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
He spoke English, he spoke directly. The other candidate said nothing.
Yeah.
And so I think that God honored that decision.
Listen, we want to hear from you. Comment below. These governors need to hear you commenting, and they want to see your reaction to them doing what you said you wanted them to
do.
You know, comment on DeWine, comment on the Mississippi governor, comment on these different Utah governors, the ones that are making
Tennessee.
It law. It's law in Tennessee. Oh, my goodness. And it's happening, which means this. The death of children is going to end. Also, it means revival is coming, but it means a third great awakening is going to come, and everybody's brains is going to flip and all of a sudden realize this evilness, we got to stop all this stuff. And every one of us are going to be, it's going to be much easier to be in the light. Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. This is so exciting when I think about how abortion is ending in America. Life's winning again in America. But I want to encourage you. Listen, we just launched on Spotify. Of course, we're on iTunes, Google Play. We're on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe on all these platforms. But if you'll go rate us inside of our podcast in iTunes, give us 5 stars, give us a shout out. We get a chance. Some of you guys are going to be able to recognize on air. We just want to say thank you. When you do that, that brings us up in the way the computer programs work, and more people see VFN TV all around the world. It's just, that's one way you can be a missionary to the world, by going to iTunes, rate our podcast, and it makes our podcast available to more and more people. And comment as well. Listen, when I think about how we prayed, it was like praying to brass heaven for the longest time.
I know.
Like, but this has to happen for a great awakening. And Unplanned, I saw the movie Unplanned, and I encourage everyone to see it. And there's no vulgar language, but reality is there. And I buried my face in my hands several times because I just was tears. But it's what I needed to see, because it's the truth of what's going on. They've been trying to hide that truth from us.
The senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, said, I was prepared, I thought, to watch this movie, But I found out quickly that I was not prepared.
No.
And what's amazing how God is using the entertainment mountain. Yes. We've been praying for all seven mountains.
You see that with VFNKB. You see each of the seven mountains. We see that over and over again. You might even see it right now on the screen. But we're praying. Each of these mountains have to be taken or at least influenced with light to be able to disciple a nation. Jesus said, go disciple a nation. And we do that by going in and being light influencers in these mountains. And now you're seeing, you know, PureFlix did this mm-hmm. wonderful movie. You know, I think potentially the company owner called MyPillow or something like that, that has the MyPillow, I think it was a big funder and producer of it.
I believe it was $1 million he donated to the movie.
He's the one that pulls the sign down at the very end. This is so, you got to see the movie. But understand, when you're looking at this, this Abby Johnson is the one the movie's about, because she was in the industry there as Employee of the Year for Planned Parenthood, responsible under her watch for, in her clinic, estimated 22,000 children were murdered through abortion in her clinic. But all of a sudden, they even kept it from her, but one day they called her to the back of the clinic, and she went to go help out because she was on the front end helping people buy things and stuff, and she saw it for the first time. And her eyes were open, and she realized, I cannot do this anymore. And her life was turned around dramatically. And today, because of her, because of Abby Johnson, because of your prayers, now we have laws being overturned. Over 100 clinic workers are reportedly leaving. Now Abby Johnson has a ministry helping them transition
right? Well, many people talk about what's the fallout, what's the ramification of a movie like this. Well, the producer, Chuck Konzelman, actually testifies before the Senate because Twitter was actually took their page down and was banning their promotion.
Well, remember, too, I know we got it, but Twitter is a social media platform that Planned Parenthood has a Twitter account, and Unplanned just launched this movie, just came out, and they had more followers on their Twitter account than all of Planned Parenthood. Mm. And so they took it, actually, so Twitter took down Unplanned, the movie. I mean, they got like, you know, terrible, violent movies out there, and it's like, that's crazy. But guess what? It didn't matter, did it?
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Well, here's Chuck as he talks about the impact.
Is he the director or the producer? He's the director. I think he's the director.
He's the director.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at Chuck and see what he had to say.
We have had approaches through Abby Johnson's organization, and then there were none. We have, which transitions workers out of the abortion industry. I believe we have something approaching 1% of the abortion workers in the United States seeking help to leave the industry. Now, that's based partly on a hard number and partly on an estimate. The number of actual workers who have reached out is 94. I believe there's something on the order of about 700 clinics nationwide. If they all did, had 12 employees. I wasn't a math major, but I think we still get to about one, a little better than 1%. So I think on the order of 1% of the abortion workers in the United States, after getting one look at them being portrayed on film, and it serves, I think, also some evidence that they're not being portrayed as monsters, have decided to change their lives and their profession and what they do for a living.
Well, you think about it, it's just great news. This is wonderful news. I want to say this, that you think about, well, how can somebody, understanding that what we're doing now is wrong, it's not what God would want for me, it's not what God wants for these women or these children, say, I need help getting another job versus just walking out of their job? But ever since I've been a believer and ever since I've been a leader in ministry, I see many Christians who compromise their walk with God by their business choices. And Abby's job just happened to be an abortion clinic. But how many people, John, do we know right now decided on a job and a money for their reason for not following God?
I've heard that so many times.
So it's not just Abby Johnson.
No.
It's like everyone, if we're disobeying God when God calls us to do,
that's right.
You know, if it means less money, if it means living in a place that God said be, I mean,
it's amazing how people will move clearly across the country for a job. For money. But when it comes to their own spiritual life, we'll find some church somewhere. It's like, what?
They move across the country, but when God says, I want you to move this other country, be a missionary, it's like, I didn't hear you, God. What are you saying to me?
Another country. When God says, I want you to move across the street
right.
and talk to the person across the street about Jesus, I don't know.
Well, does it have
that.
A Starbucks there? If it has a Starbucks, maybe I could do that. And a good, you know, good paying job, you know. We're thinking, a good paying job, how much? I don't know, $200,000 to $300,000 a year. Like, okay.
All right.
But so it's not just Abby
sure.
and all these clinic workers. It's like it's the mindset where we put money over God.
That's
we're
right.
Jesus said, you can't serve both God and money. You'll be divided. So every one of us has to begin to decide, are we going to follow God? are we going to follow money? God will take care of us. He says it in Matthew chapter 6, you know, that he'll take care of us. But we have to actually put him first and not money first.
Imagine that. This, in case you missed it, this is what Chuck said. He said 1% of abortion workers...
This is the director of the movie I'm playing.
1% of the abortion workers in the United States, after getting one look at them portrayed on the film, he said, have decided to change their lives and what they're doing for a living. It's amazing that when you look from the outside in and you get a chance to see what's really going on, you go, wait a minute, I need to rethink about and rethink this. And it's interesting because here you're going to be hearing from the actress who played Abby Johnson as she talks about, this has been the most significant role of my life. We're talking about the impact of this movie, Unplanned, and what's happening all across the country as a result of people seeing how horrific, brutal, and devastating.
But it's told in a powerful way now. This movie is told in a powerful way. It's not cheesy. It's not, you know, whatever, you know, these preachy type movies. It's just you're encountering this reality. It's like, it's just excellent, done excellently, but it just topic just happens to be a rough, but yeah, a good outcome in this movie. Yeah, take a look.
The response has been incredibly positive. I mean, through it all, this has been the most rewarding and fulfilling role I've ever had in my entire career. To be able to hear someone come to you and say, I was so affected by your work that I decided, instead of having an abortion, that I'm now going to have my child. I don't know how to really explain the way that feels, to know that you could have potentially just saved a life. I mean, there's not a lot of actors who get to say that, and I am so honored to be able to have a part of this.
We have a message from a woman who is actually keeping her baby after seeing Unplanned. I want to share it with you and get your reaction. It reads, I just wanted to share with you that I saw Unplanned opening weekend with my mom and grandma, but today I took a friend who was considering aborting her baby. After this movie, she has fully committed to keeping her baby, and she says she can't stop thinking about this movie and that everyone should see it. Praise God.
That's so powerful, what's happening. The media mountain, the arts entertainment mountain, the government mountain, all these mountains are shifting.
All working together, huh?
Media mountain. You're a part of it because you've stood with us, you prayed with us, you've partnered with us, you connected with us, you did these different things together. We're a part of history forever. Yeah. It's amazing when you think about it.
You want to be on the right side of history and the right side of truth. We're going to go to Abby Johnson, and she has a ministry that helps transition abortion workers out of that business. It's amazing what they do. I believe their ministry is called And Then There Were None. Take a look.
We always say that nobody grows up wanting to work in the abortion industry. Nobody. Our vision statement for And Then There Were None is no abortion clinic workers, no abortion clinics, no abortions. It starts with the workers. We see ourselves as being part of a pro-love movement, that we want to love these workers out of the clinics. We want to love them onto a path of healing, and we want to love them back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I hear people, pro-lifers, say, well, it's just a job. Why can't they just leave? Because it's not just a job. The abortion industry is not like working for a fast food restaurant. There is a very strong spiritual hold. It gets a hold of someone. It gets a hold of their mind. It gets a hold of their heart. Leaving the abortion industry is really difficult. The happiest moments of my life are moments when I'm on the phone with an abortion clinic worker as they're walking out of their job for the last time. Our program is a relationship-based program. So each client that comes to us has an individual person that they connect with, that they talk with, and then we also help with any sort of financial needs that they may have. The majority of workers who come to us have been single parents. You have to be able to provide practical support so that they will take that step and leave, because just them contacting us is a step of faith. So now we have to be there to provide a safety net for them. So we do provide 1 month of replacement salary for them, transitional help. We have employment services, so we can help them with resume writing, job recruitment. We also provide legal support for them. We provide emotional support. So, you know, a lot of workers, when they leave, they have been keeping a lot of their trauma stuff down. But when they leave, all of that trauma starts to come back up.
There's this big group of protesters, and then off to the side a little bit, there would be like one lone person. And while the other people are screaming at our patients and screaming at us, oh, you're the devil, you're killing babies, this one person was like, hey, I know you don't want to work here. I know you don't want to do this. No one wants to do this. We can help you find a job. The biggest reason I didn't reach out at first is because I thought it was just another church group trying to take, you know, trying to promote their pro-life agenda. I had no idea that Abby had been in my shoes before. She has done and seen everything that I have and walked out for the same reason.
Do you remember the date we left?
August 8th, 2014.
It meant a lot to you, didn't it?
Absolutely. It changed my life. After that day, I didn't have to walk in there and be conscious of my role and what those women were doing. The day after that, I was able to step toward healing.
And Then There Were None is a nonprofit. We rely on the generosity of people that support our mission and support our work and that support these clinic workers. You may never see the face of a worker that you help. You may never hear their story, but your donation changed their life.
AbortionWorkers.com. Think about this. Maybe you are an abortion worker and you didn't see a way out. Abby didn't either. But just suddenly when she began to make that move, God provided every step of the way. And what was provided for her, now she's become that transition ministry.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a mother thinking about, I think it's 60% of people that go have abortions come back a second time and it's a mother married with other children. Listen, don't end their life. You have to live with that forever. You don't want to do that. And maybe you have ended your child's life. Listen, God loves you. God will forgive you. We have another program. You can find out more details below. But I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are ending abortion in America, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that you heard our cry. Lord, we pray for transition jobs quickly for all these workers to leave the clinic. We call down the mountain of Moloch and Planned Parenthood in this nation that it would just end in Jesus' name. There would be no killing of any children in this land, dear God. And we pray for healing for these women that have gone through that, Father God. Forgiveness, Father God. And we ask you, dear Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, God. And we know that you're ending abortion. And we know that following that can be the third great awakening in our nation. And we just thank you in advance for it in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. It's very simple. Love God. Love others and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation light.